Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to the Persuasion Call. My name is Kurt Mortensen, and today we're going to talk about some things that will increase your bank account, that will help you out. Of course, it's Thursday, September 11th. A little phone etiquette before we get started. If you're on a cell phone or if there's a lot of background noise, star 6, that mutes you out. Pretty simple. And if you want to come back in live when we answer questions, you can hit star 6 again. Voice over IP sometimes gives us grief, but we just want to keep it live and interactive, have some fun, and just teach you some great skills in the world of persuasion and influence, and especially focus on charisma today. And I guess the big question of the day is, how many of you out there persuade for a living say yes?
Yes.
Yes. We all do, to everyone. And that's kind of the ironic thing. Whether you're a parent, a teacher, a leader, a manager, we all persuade for a living. And then the next question is, would anybody be interested in doubling their income in the next 12 months? Would that be any of interest to you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Let's hear some yeses out there. Basically, what I want to point out is, as you master persuasion, is this. You could, if you want to double or triple your income, whatever it is, wherever you're at, it really doesn't matter. You can work twice as hard, which I don't want for anybody. We're already busy enough. Or whatever you do for a living, you double your persuasion skills. You get more people to do business with you. You make your business more successful. And my goal is to make not only persuasion easy, but also to make it fun, to give you that confidence to know you can persuade people. Because in the persuasion process, the reality is they're either persuading you why they shouldn't do it, or you're persuading them why they should. There's always a persuasion happening. And we want to get you to be able to persuade with confidence, to really learn to read people and understand how everything's put together. And this is what I've been doing for the last 20 years. I study persuasion, and it's changed dramatically. There's been so many changes in the world of persuasion that it's been really interesting. And I want to share some of those with you today, some of those big things that people are doing that are actually repelling people, that are actually turning people off. Because do you know that annoying persuader that nobody likes, or that salesperson that rubs you the wrong way, or that family member that you just can't connect with? Do you know that type of a person? Have you met that type of a person? Would you take that as a yes? Well, not to sugarcoat it here, but that could be you. Okay? But people just don't tell you. So one of the fun things I do at the Persuasion Institute is I interview people after they've lied to you, after they've said it's too expensive, I can't afford it, send me more information, send me an email. Those, most of the time, almost 70% of the time, those are lies, because they know it'll get rid of you because they either didn't like you or they didn't trust you. And even though you're a good person and a trustworthy person, trust is an all-time low. And wow. And 20 years ago it was, I trust you, give me a reason not to. Now it's, I don't trust you, give me a reason to trust you. So I'm going to teach you some skills that are known that less than 1% of the people out there. And it's just amazing, as I interview people about their persuasion skills, I ask them, how much money have you lost with your inability to persuade? And I was surprised at some of the answers, but I averaged them all together. There was over 10,000 answers, and the average was $4.3 million. And I thought that was pretty interesting for a skill that nobody really learns in school. Some people pick it up a long way, but most people have picked up the wrong things. Today, we will not talk about closing skills, because they do not work anymore, because people are smarter than that, and closing skills is like trying to get a kiss after a bad date. Okay? That's just how it is. If they don't like you and they don't trust you, a clever phrase is not going to help you out. That's just how it is. What I want you to do is become magnetic, attract people to you, to get what you want when you want. In the process, you win friends for life. That's just how it is. Because I know you've had somebody that you've talked to, and they wanted your product or service, they needed your product or service, they could afford your product or service, and they didn't buy. What happened there? That's what I want to point out to you. Some of the little things that you can adjust to become a great persuader. And the magical number that's really important, that I've done all these years of research that I keep coming back to, is 95%. You see, 95% of all persuasion involves a subconscious trigger. Meaning, you meet someone for the first 30 seconds, a subconscious triggers how you feel. I like this person, I don't like this person, I trust this person, I don't trust this person. It all comes back to a feeling. Now, here's the interesting thing. It could be the color of your clothes. It could be facial hair. It could be the size of your wedding ring. It could be a gesture that you make. It could be a word choice. All these things trigger what we call a subconscious trigger that you need to be careful of. And that's the amazing thing about the world of persuasion as we go out there. So our goal here is to talk about some things that will get money in your bank account right now, some things to help you out. Again, this is what I study and I research all day long. It's just fascinating to me. My goal is to help you become great persuaders because most of you haven't really learned how to do that. You might have a few things here and there, but here's what the brutal research shows. Is that most people rely on 3 to 4 persuasion techniques over and over again. And really there's over 120 different persuasion techniques. And as Abraham Maslow says, if the only tool in your toolbox is a hammer, you treat everyone like a nail. So my goal for you today is to get more tools in your toolbox and to understand that big mistake that many of you are making is that you tend to persuade others how you like to be persuaded. That is wrong. You need to learn to adapt and persuade them how they want to be persuaded. Now, you might have a persuasion tool that works 10% of the time. Good for you, but let's get another tool that works 10% of the time and another tool that works 5% of the time. And after a while, your success rate is going to start doubling and tripling because you have more tools. That is the goal, is to have more tools. And that's one of the reasons I study persuasion, is I spent all this money on a college degree, an advanced degree, and they didn't teach me some of the basic things I needed to be successful. And I'm not here to sugarcoat it. I just want to give you the honest truth here. The research and studies show that when you look at business success, 15% of your success comes from your core competence, okay, what you know about your product or your service or your field. The other 85% comes back to persuasion skills, people skills, self-mastery, a lot of those soft skills that people think they have, number one, or they never taught you the right way to do it, that is the best thing we can teach you, and that's what we want to talk about as we go through this call. So let's get into some of the real meat of this call. I'll take questions at any time if you want to ask me those. Again, Kurt Mortensen from the Persuasion Institute. Let me give you the 85%. I talked about the 85% of your success. Now let me give you those four areas again. The first one is personal mastery. I'll call that self-persuasion. Have you ever had a day when you didn't feel like doing the things you know you needed to do? Okay? That's number one. And if you have background noise or you just got in on a cell phone, please hit *6. That'll mute you out so we can keep the line interactive. Really appreciate that. Thank you so much. That is much better. Cell phones do that, voice over IP, background noise. And if you put us on hold and there's music, we all get to hear it. So hang up and call back if you need to. We'd love to have you. So here's your success blueprint. Here's the big chunk of your success. The first one's personal mastery or self-persuasion. The second one is persuasion. Okay? So you have personal mastery number one, persuasion number two. The third one is your presentation skills, how you talk over the phone, face-to-face. And the fourth one I'll focus most of the time on today is influence. Influence is a higher form of persuasion. Persuasion is what you do when you say. Influence is who you are. Now, under influence comes charisma. That's what we're going to talk about. Charisma, it empowers, it uplifts, it inspires. And as I've been watching top persuaders, they have charisma. Now, some people say, well, yeah, that's natural to them. And I'm thinking, no, no, no. So I did a little more research. I said, no, charisma can be learned. Charisma is incredible. When you have influence and you have charisma with somebody, you don't need any facts or figures. You don't need any brochures or additional information. You don't need any testimonials. They do it because of you. I mean, we're talking high forms of persuasion here. When you reach charisma, that's why we're spending time on this, wow, that's a trump card. Again, let me repeat that. No more need for testimonials, statistics, or referrals. They do it because of you. They trust you. They like you. They want, here's the key, they want to be persuaded by you. Would you get that? They want to be persuaded by you. And it's something people just kind of say, well, you have it or you don't. No, you can learn this. Great persuaders, bottom line, have charisma. And that's what I do all day long is I look at these top persuaders. I find out what they have that other people don't have. Why do top persuaders earn 10 times more than average persuaders? They're not working twice as much, 10 times more, but they make a lot more money. And we can all think of charismatic people that we've met in our life, and they have a certain presence and charm about them. And they tend to be very captivating is what I'm trying to say. They command our attention, and we hang on to every word. I mean, that's what it is. They have energy. They motivate us. They inspire us. And the bottom line is when we meet them, we feel better about ourselves and our future, and we were excited to meet them. So let's talk about what is charisma. Now, for some, it's this mysterious attribute, but this is what it's not. It's not leadership. It's not assertiveness. Okay? It's not necessarily being a people person, but those can be part of the package. But I think one of the best definitions comes from attorney Jerry Spence. He wrote the book, How to Argue and Win Every Time. And this is what he said about charisma. He said, charisma is energy from the heart zone. If the speaker has no feeling, there is nothing to transfer. Charisma occurs when the speaker's feelings are transferred in the purest form to another. Charisma is not a diluted feeling. It is not disguised. It is a raw feeling. Charisma is the passing our pure energy, our pure passion to the other. Wow, we've got some kids in the background. So, star six, or if you're at a baseball game, star six will mute you out. If you're on a cell phone, star six will mute you out. If you want to come back in later and ask questions, star six will do that so we can keep it clean. Thank you for doing that. So, again, charisma is from the heart zone. It's pure passion. Some people have it, some people don't. Let's learn how to get it. I want to talk about four things that will really make a difference to really attract people to you. Again, I'm talking about magnetic persuasion here. You're attracting people that want to be persuaded by you. People only resist you because you're using old-style cheesy tactics. When you have charisma, it's a whole different ball game. So number one, it can be learned. Number two, let's get you these skills so you can really dramatically increase your income and your ability to persuade and influence and lead. So number one, and these all happen to start with P's. I didn't really plan it out that way, but they just did, so it sounded good, so I'm going to go with it. Number one is presence. Your presence. When you walk into a room full of 20, 30 people or more, do people notice you when you walk in that door? Do they notice you as you walk around the room? Or do you fall through the cracks? When you're talking to a group of people, do they fall asleep? Are they texting? Are they listening to iPods? Do you have presence? Let me give you some things to help you out with your presence. Now, a big one is passion. Passion, more than anything else, recruits the hearts and minds of your audience. Great persuaders have heartfelt passion. Your audience can sense it. Are you going through the motions, or do you have conviction for your cause, for your product, or your service? Now, when you have this passion, your audience, your prospect, your client, your patient will emotionally jump on board. We love people that are excited, that have a zeal for their product or their service. And passion is critical to influencing others. Yet, as we interview most persuaders, less than half have a passion for their product or service. When you have passion for something, and ask yourself if this is true, when you really have passion for what you do, you want to share it with the world. You want to convert as many people to your cause as possible, to your product or service. You're not swayed by the opinions of others. You're always motivated. Passion alone can be effective in influencing others to support your product, service, or cause. Okay? So, this is a subset of charisma, is passion. Now, charisma tends to be a characteristic. Well, passion is a transfer of emotions. Now, here's the question I want everyone to ask themselves. Okay? Now, I want you to be honest. You don't have to say it out loud. But when you're trying to persuade somebody about, again, your product, your service, your idea, your cause, whatever it is, we all persuade every day in some aspect. Again, if there's background noise, please hit star six or cell phone. A little feedback there. I think that hopefully that was the one. Thank you so much for doing that. All right, here's the question. I'm not one to sugarcoat it or give you a lot of fluff. As we spend the next hour together, I want to give you some good information. Now, here's the one I've been noticing. I can take two persuaders of the same persuasion IQ, same personality, using the same script, but one's having 2 to 3 times more success than the other one. So the one is, you know, knows the basic persuasion skills, but one's doing a lot better. Now I kind of go back, and it came back to passion. It came back to passion. Here's the question I want you to ask yourself. When you're talking to somebody, are you singing the song, or are you singing the words? Let me repeat that. When you're talking to somebody, are you singing the song, or are you just going through the motions, or are you singing the world, singing the words? Okay, it's a tough question. Some of you have a bad habit, and this will suck the life, energy, and passion out of you, the bad habit of prejudging. Oh, they'll never do it. They won't be interested. They're not the type. You don't know. You might be right 50% of the time, but the other 50% of the time, you prejudged them. You had no energy. You had no enthusiasm. You had no passion. And, of course, they weren't going to do it because you didn't expect them to. You want to read up on that? The Law of Expectations talks quite a bit about that, understanding that. So think about passion. That is a huge part of your presence. Having that passion, when you're excited, you have that sense of mission, it's driving you.
Yeah.
Are you singing the songs or are you singing the words? So having that passion. Now, if you want to increase your passion, a lot of that comes with belief. Do you really believe in your product or service? Do a little more research. Is it changing lives? Is it helping people? Do you have a great product or service? And part of increasing your passion, too, is increasing your enthusiasm. Great persuaders increase their enthusiasm. And they do that, of course, by gaining insight and knowledge about their product or their subject. They have this true belief. Now, I'm not talking about hype here. That's kind of a false energy, a fake enthusiasm. I'm talking about pure enthusiasm. Now, a lot of times when we go to a car dealership or a telemarketer calls us, that is hype. And there's a big difference. Some people think it's close. You could be enthusiastic without bouncing all over the room and drooling all over yourself. Okay, that's not really enthusiasm. We're talking about pure enthusiasm. Now, hype could be defined when you do have hype. It's kind of a false energy that lowers your credibility. You come across as phony. You repel people. You're viewed as arrogant. But this is a huge thing, enthusiasm. It's a transfer of energy. When we do our 3-day persuasion negotiation boot camps, one of the things we do, actually this is done at the presentation skills, what happens is we have people come up and give a 3-minute presentation of something they're excited or enthusiastic about. Okay? Pretty simple. And, you know, this one lady got up, started talking about frozen yogurt of all things. She loved it and the toppings and the flavors, and there was so much enthusiasm by the end of her presentation, we all wanted frozen yogurt. Or then this other lady got up and started talking about scrapbooking. Now, I'm not a big scrapbooker. Okay, I don't scrapbook at all, to know the truth. I don't really get it. No offense for those who do. But she was so enthusiastic about it. She showed us the pages. I mean, it was just incredible. Now, I could see why she did it. Now, I still won't scrapbook, but her enthusiasm was very contagious. Now, I understand why she does it, and it was very exciting to her. That is enthusiasm. Okay? People, this is a quote from David Peoples. He says, people are persuaded more by your depth of your conviction than the height of your logic, more by your enthusiasm than any proof you can offer. We are emotional creatures, most of using way too much logic. Remember, we buy an emotion, and then we justify it with logic. So you've seen persuaders who radiate enthusiasm. I'm talking about true enthusiasm, because when you have that enthusiasm, it not only reduces fear, but it also creates self-acceptance, great confidence, compassion, and harmony between you and your audience. So that's another part of presence. And Norman Vincent Peale said, when one gets enthusiastic, the entire personality lights up, the mind becomes sharper, more intuitive, the entire life force and creative ability are enhanced. Power tool. Transfer of energy. Okay? Now, those might seem obvious to you, and those are things that you can learn, really developing a belief in your product. But another one most of you need to work on based on my studies, and this was a surprising one to me doing the research. You know, some things are pretty much brainless. Well, passion's important, charisma's important, but what is it? One that hit the radar screen that really surprised me when we look at presence and top persuaders. Okay, we're still on number one, which is your presence. Not giving away presence, but your presence is optimism. Wow. Optimistic persuaders outpersuade pessimistic persuaders every time. It's not only critical to influencing others, but it's critical for success in life. Now, understand, optimism is more than a positive mental attitude. Have you heard that PMA, positive mental attitude? Now, some people will sit on their couch thinking, I'm the best, and people like me, and I'm wealthy. And that's okay, but it's also a form of delusion, okay? I'm all about the daily affirmations, but you need to have some type of action plan. Now, what optimism is, well, let's tell you what it's not. It's not constantly saying positive things to yourself and hoping that maybe they might come true, but true optimism is a state of mind, and it's kind of how you dictate, look at the world. An optimistic view of life and the world around you can inspire hope and courage in others. And people want to feel inspired and encouraged. You want to lift people up. When you're optimistic, you lift people up. When you're pessimistic, you push them down. Now, pessimism, on the other hand, has always taken the negative view. You know, when you're always looking at the negative side of things, pulling people down. And the studies show it that optimists do better in school. They persuade better. They have more friends. They do better in the careers. They live longer. They make more money. And it is, yes, something that you can learn. And I love what Helen Keller said. She said, no pessimist ever discovered the secrets of the stars or sailed to an uncharted land or opened a new heaven to the human spirit. So this is what we call influential optimism. This is a critical thing. Who are you listening to? Are you an optimist? Are you a pessimist? When people are around you, do they feel better about themselves? And we'll talk more about that. So let's talk about just using educated optimism, okay? You have to. That is the ability to see around corners, to anticipate challenges, because yes, there'll be challenges, and still maintain a positive outlook while preparing for the bumps in the road. So that's true optimism right there. Okay, so optimism. And another one there, too, that we notice with very, people have great presence, they have a good vision. Okay, vision of the future. If you want your prospects, your patients, your clients, they have to be able to see themselves doing what you're asking them to do. And the only way to do that is to paint a great picture and to pretty much download your vision into them. They have to see it, taste it, touch it, feel it. Because when people have that vision, it eliminates fear and procrastination, and it creates courage and persistence. And when you have vision, it brings commitment from other people, and it helps people focus on the future. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat it here. Let me just tell you something on your personal lives that we've just discovered that's a real eye-opener for most people. One of the opposite things of vision is worry. And a lot of people aren't persuaded because they're stuck in worry. You have to get them past worry and help them see themselves doing what you're asking them to do. And this is huge, for example, in network marketing. People say it's too expensive, I can't afford it, don't have the time. Those are all lies because they can't see themselves talking to their family and friends. They can't see themselves coming to a meeting every week. They can't see themselves, but they come up with these lies. They rarely tell you the truth. Now, here's the part I want to just kind of lay it on to help you understand, to help you improve your life, is that if you're the type of person that's stuck on worry, you're always worrying about the future, you're always worrying about this, that you spend most of your time worrying, and by the way, 90% of what you worry about will never happen and you can't change anyway. But if you're stuck on worry and you're wondering why success is taking so long, you're wondering why you're not financially independent, if you're stuck on worry, what that means is that your vision's not strong enough. You can't see yourself really being successful. Because when you have a strong personal vision, you can see it, taste it, touch it, feel it, and you don't worry about the bumps in the road. You know you're going to make it happen. And that's also true with your prospects. So that was number one under charisma, was your presence. Okay? Talked about a few things there. The second one we notice of with very charismatic people and top persuaders, number two, and this one's actually pretty simple to understand, is personal development. Charismatic people are very knowledgeable. They know their stuff. They have a personal development program. Because contrary to popular belief, what you don't know will hurt you, okay? And a Harvard study shows that those who are learning and growing every day, they're more optimistic about life. They're more enthusiastic about where they're going and what they're going to accomplish. But those who aren't learning and growing every day become negative, pessimistic about themselves and their future. So it's a great motivator, and it's a great success skill. See, those stuck in a mediocre incomes, their mindset's this, well, I'll figure it out on my own. And that's not how successful people think. You look at people like Donald Trump, you know, billionaire. When he has a challenge, he doesn't figure it out on his own. He finds the best because it's the return on investment. You know, listening to the CDs in your car, going to the seminars, mentoring with people, whatever you need to do, you need to have a personal development program. You need to know your stuff. The world knowledge base is doubling every 6 years. 95% of all homes worth over $1 million have a library. It's a critical thing. Turn the TV off. Learn. Grow. Turn the radio off in your car. It makes such a big difference. Charismatic people, they're up on the times. They can carry conversations with everyone. They know a little bit about different things, but they also specialize in what they do. Okay, personal development, it's a no-brainer concept, but most people aren't spending enough time. And that's what we notice with top persuaders, is that they spend about 10 to 15% of their income on these different things, the books, the tapes, the seminars, the mentoring, because it makes such a big return on investment for them. That's what they're doing. All the low producers are saying, well, they do it because of the money. And they're saying, no, I have the money because I do it. That is the difference. So spend at least 30 to 60 minutes a day on some type of personal development program. It motivates you. You feel better about yourself. You're more excited. And it gives you the skills, and it helps you become more charismatic. You have to have that knowledge. So that was an easy one. That was number two. Number three is your presentation skills. How do you come across when you talk to people? Again, this could be one-on-one. This could be over the phone. This could be through a group of people. People are judging. Now, we've been told our whole life not to judge, but we all judge, especially face-to-face. We are judging, and we have to be careful of our presentation skills because to be highly charismatic, you have to come across that way. You might sound great on the phone, but maybe face-to-face you're not coming across. Charismatic people are great presenters. They're great communicators. Skills they really haven't taught you in school that are important. Because when you come across, do your presentation skills, you need to come across as competent. Competence is either real or perceived. You could be the smartest person in the world, but if you don't come across that way, it doesn't matter. That has to come across in presentation. And you need to be the expert. We're not selling people here because the moment you're trying to persuade somebody or sell somebody, they will resist you. Even though they need it and want to like it, if you're trying to persuade them to do something, they're going to resist you. So your goal is to help them persuade themselves. And a great way to do that is to be a consultant, be the expert, don't be the salesperson. Okay? Very simple. Now, a big part of your presentation skills, you need to look at your confidence level. Confidence, your assurance, your belief, your conviction. How confident are you, number one? How confident do you come across? I mean, if you're having a lot of fear, fear breeds doubt, and doubt destroys confidence. Now, this is one thing I'm noticing, because what I do is I interview your prospects after they've lied to you, and I interview the persuaders too. And the persuaders will say, well, yeah, I came across as confident. I'll interview the prospect. They'll say, no, they came across as cocky. Now, there's a fine line there between cocky and confident. You want to be confident, but when you're cocky, it's more about you. It's more about you telling them what they need. You have to hear them out. Now, a big way you go from confident to cocky is the way you handle objections. Now, you probably hear the same objections over and over again, and you're excited because you have a decent answer, and you cut them off in the middle of their objection, you're going to come across as cocky. Because it's the first time they've ever voiced that objection, you cut them off halfway, you have to hear them out. If you went to a doctor and you were feeling sick and the doctor knew there was a flu going around, you went to the doctor's office, you're sitting on the parchment paper waiting for the doctor, and the doctor came in and says, hey, how you doing? Here's some pills. This will fix you up. Even though the doctor knew exactly what you needed, you would be offended because you want the doctor to ask questions. You want them to diagnose you. That's just how it is, and same thing true with your patient, your client, your prospect. Be very careful with this one. Be confident. I mean, this is what people want. Can you imagine going to a dentist, and you're sitting in a dentist office, and you're sitting in the chair, they've taken x-rays, you're waiting for them to develop the x-rays, you have your little paper napkin bib on, and the doctor or the dentist comes in and puts these little photos in the light, like you have any idea, but they show you anyway. they're showing you these things, and then all of a sudden the doctor says, or the dentist says, you know what, I think you need a root canal. I'm not sure, though. I'm not really good at this. What do you think? You would probably run and run real fast. We want people to be confident. We want to be persuaded by confident people. That's a big part of your presentations, okay? Your presence, your in your presentations are critical to your success. So let's talk a little about some other things to watch out for in your presentations that will help you out. We noticed some things they'll take away from your confidence is, first of all, vocal fillers. You know. We all use a few here and there, but most of us use way too many. It decreases your confidence, it decreases your credibility, and it makes persuasion much more difficult. Nonverbal gestures, too. If you're up in front of a group and you have your hands in your pocket, if you are swaying back and forth, the way you're, if you're standing up straight up and down, a lot of people tend to sway. There's a lot of nonverbal gestures that will take away from your confidence level, and people will judge you. Now, let me just give you a little feedback here. I could spend all day on this when we teach persuasion and presentation skills, but let me give you something that will help you out. Because we talked about subconscious triggers in the beginning. If you're going to move your hands, make sure it's below your shoulders and above your hips. That is your safe zone where you want to move your hands. Now, when you put your hands back at your side and make a purposeful gesture and put them back at your side, not folded over your stomach, but back at your side. Now, when your hand comes above your shoulder, it makes people tense and uneasy, and they don't like you as much. You're like, well, why would that be? Well, think about it. Wow. Somebody's back there.